Welcome to Majak Innovatsi, the podcast of Unit City dedicated to innovation from Ukraine to the world. Привіт! I am Dominique Piotet. I am French and American, and after 16 years in Silicon Valley, I decided to move to a vibrant and wonderful, but yet still too much unknown tech scene, Kyiv in Ukraine. I am the CEO of Unit City, the first Ukrainian smart city dedicated to innovation. And if you want to know more about Unit City, and now I know you want to know more, well, you just go online and you just do unit.city and you will figure it out and get everything. And now it's time to launch our new episode.
Majak Innovatsi. 1, 2, 3, launch!
And now it's time to introduce our co-host for this podcast, Tatiana Morozova and Andrei Komorowski. Hello, guys.
Hey, hello.
Hey, guys.
And I think it's a special day for you, Andrei. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you, Andrei. So in this term of quarantine, Andrei, where are you going to travel for your birthday? Well, because you're a travel guy.
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you very much. I do appreciate it. And I think I'm going to travel from one room to another. And what's even more, I got a multi-pass. Like, I can visit whatever room I like. And I got best restaurants in my kitchen.
Oh,
best
nice.
Spa in my bathroom. And I think best sex in my living room.
And do you have a hand luggage?
Hand luggage? No, it's it's been delivered. I got it all.
So smart.
Here.
That guy knows how to travel. He's traveling light. Here you go.
best wishes to you on your birthday.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, guys. You appreciate it. Birthday, happy birthday.
Okay, and now, well, since we just moved to the kitchen of Andrei's apartment, it's time for our news section, What's Cooking? What's Cooking is really our tech news section, really from Ukraine to the world, just to know what's going on in the world. And Tatiana, what's cooking this week in your kitchen?
I would like to cook something from wild nature, and maybe this news would fit to Andrei. And maybe it would be good for his vacations plans. National Geographic launches a homeschool hub for parents and teachers. On Nat Geo at home, you can find educational content like articles, that's boring, I know, but lessons, videos, and online activities. And they also attract conversationalists, scientists, filmmakers, explorers, other experts, and talk on pretty smart topics.
Cool. So that's Nat Geo at home. What about you, Andrei? What's cooking in your kitchen?
Well, my news is about Uber and whole new approaches and models in the time of the crisis, like this one. And to be more specific, Uber just starts listing jobs of other companies for its drivers. And right now, job openings come from 7-Eleven, Amazon, and McDonald's. And this is, ladies and gentlemen, a whole new reality that features the collaboration from yesterday competitors and the rise of new approaches and models in business. And this Uber move is actually in line with this long-term strategy of becoming a wholesale supplier of temporary workers to multiple industries beyond just transport and delivery. And last year, Uber even launched Uber Works, for those of you who are not aware of this. And this is a short-term staffing service that helps Uber workers, Uber employees, find work at other companies. And right now, these locations operate in Chicago and Miami. And I wish that more companies do things like that, which are both innovating and giving back to the communities that they operate in. I think this is the right thing to do. And this is a whole new reality filled with new approaches, new models, new things.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's time for those companies to start really giving back to the community.
Absolutely.
with soundtrack by Beatles, Come Together.
Yes, Come Together, yeah. Right now.
It's a motto.
Yes.
Reality.
Okay, well, in my kitchen, actually in my kitchen, there's a war cooking, like a real war between, well, actually it's cooking between my kitchen and my TV. In my living room. It's a streaming platform war. That has just started. Well, in those time of confinement and spending time at home, we definitely watch more TV. Or do we really watch TV anymore? Or are we just watching, well, maybe Netflix or competitors on Netflix? Maybe the TV is dead after all, and maybe it's really the time for us to watch those Netflix thing. I actually do think that Netflix for now is a winner. And the second one, actually biggest platform, is Hulu, which is owned by Disney. But really Netflix, with 61 million subscribers in the US alone and about 250 million subscribers in the world, is really the big winner. But that's not it. There's a newcomer. There's a new small guy coming. Well, small. It's Quibi. And you haven't heard yet about Quibi, but you can already download it on your phone. Quibi has been launched by Meg Whitman, the former CEO of eBay and HP, and Jeffrey Katzenberg. And Jeffrey Katzenberg is kind of a hero. He's the guy who co-created DreamWorks. And they're kind of giant Hollywood mogul. And they decided to create a new platform called Quibi, where you can watch really short videos on your phone. It's specifically made for your phone. And if you watch, depending on the orientation of your phone, the picture is not going to be the same. Usually it's about 5 to 10 minutes bite content, made specifically for the phone. Do you know how much those guys raised? $1.6 billion to produce their first 50 shows. So it's kind of insane. It's not free. It's about $5 a month if you want the advertising. It's about $7 without advertising. And it's only in English for the moment. But Quibi, huh, the war is not done. And by the way, what is your favorite show on Netflix, Tatiana?
I like to watch Cosmos.
Oh, Cosmos, cool.
This show. Yeah. Andrew, and you?
I don't have any favorite shows, but I just started watching The Altered Carbon, if I'm not mistaken. It's a very strange sci-fi show about the future. It's a couple of guys told me that it's really interesting. It's really top notch. But so far, I don't think so. But it's really very different to everything that I've seen up to this point. The Altered Carbon, but it's not a commercial.
Cool.
And let me remind you that we are recording a podcast.
Yes.
We are specialists in sound.
Oh, yes. So listen to podcasts. Cool.
And by the way, do you think that this Quibi thing is going to be huge given its the size of its investments and the format and the business model?
Well, you know what? In the first day of the launch, 300,000 people download the application in one day alone. So I don't know if it's going to be huge. Really, Quibi is made for being watched in public transportation, when you're in the metro and in your way to work.
Which is not now.
Which is definitely not now. So a lot of people are saying, hey, is it the right moment to launch something like this where people are confined at home? And Meg Whitman said, well, I think it's still, because even when you're at home with the kid and stuff, any 10 minutes you have, I don't know. I think it's a moment to have some specific content for the phone. Look, we spend hours on our phone every day, so maybe it will work, actually. If it's really good for phone, maybe it will work.
Maya Kinovati. 1, 2, 3, launch!
Well, that's it for What's Cooking. I think we had a good meal and of news, and now we're going to move to our second section of the podcast, Anders, the Spotlight of Mayak.
Mayak Innovatie, shine bright like a unicorn.
And welcome back for Majak Innovacji, and we are under the spotlight of Majak, and today we have, of course, a guest who is going to be under the spotlight of Majak. Our guest this week is an entrepreneur, a mentor, and a startup advisor, and he is the managing director of a very interesting organization for startup in Ukraine. Well, actually, not only in Ukraine, we'll see, it's an international organization. It's called Demium. Before becoming managing director of Demium, which is in fact, actually, let's say it, a European incubator with a headquarter in Spain, and actually is with a great office in Kyiv, Andrei, because it's now time to unveil his name, Andrei Zinchuk, has been working in many things in the tech world. I mean, he's been in the VC business, he's been in the legal world, he's been in the blockchain business, and of course, he's been an entrepreneur, a CEO of companies, a co-founder, and, well, you could say he's really old, but in fact, he's not at all old. He has, I think, at his young age, a very strong and helicopter view of the tech scene. Andrei studied in Ukraine and in the US, and he decided actually to come back to Ukraine to live and to work. Andrei is a strong advocate also of the importance of soft skills and good shared leadership, not only for companies, but also to help and support the government. He's the chairman of the board of PGA, the Professional Government Association of Ukraine. So, wow, that's a guy, right? Andrei and I, actually, we met in Lviv. It what seems to be, well, maybe a century ago. You remember that time where there was big events and you would travel, take a plane to go to another city.
Something in a past life.
Yeah, in a past world. And you would visit the big event. Well, this one is actually one of the biggest in Ukraine. It's called IT Arena in Lviv. And I love it first because Lviv is an amazing city. For those who haven't visited, you should. It's also a really good tech scene for Ukraine, and it's an amazing event, and it's full of geeky stuff. That's cool. We like geeky stuff, and so Andrei, we became friends. We talked about a lot of geeky stuff, about tech, about Ukraine, about leadership, and about another of our shared passion, which is cars. And we should talk about it here because it's an expensive one, but it's okay.
Okay, Dominik, thanks for
inviting. Hello, Andrei.
Yeah, hi, guys. It's cool to be here with you. I'm so grateful to be at the spotlight of Majak Innovacyjny. And, you know, the intro was amazing. I was like, wow, listen, who is this guy? Is it really me? So thanks for the great, great intro.
You're welcome. Andrei, you are passionate about tech and innovation and about the startup world. You've been to the US, where actually you graduated. Why did you decide to come back to Ukraine? What is so special about the tech scene here?
About tech scene, actually, it was 2014, just after revolution. And I felt like I missed the revolution and I have to come back and do something. And actually, for 2 years, I was volunteering for different NGOs, helping government for agriculture and food production, helping to do deregulation. And then I said, okay, I put my effort to this and I have to keep moving. And because I'm very entrepreneurial and also I've kind of I founded the NGO, was called Agri Reforms. And then I said, okay, what's happening, where I can start? And my first start was in Nova Pošta. So we're launching international division, and I was launching, it's called the e-commerce B2C. So in the simple words, I launched the projects that help to deliver your shopping from like US, Canada to Ukraine. So it's called Nova Pošta Shopping. It was my first project. But in general, there was a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of good tech people, and those people, they don't know how the Western world works, and it's the big problem, and they don't know how to sell. And I felt this is my kind of advantage because I was studying in Canada, in States, I was working also in both countries, so I kind of know people, I know all the MBA guys, you know, and I said, okay, because this is going to be my edge, and I can help them, actually Ukrainian projects, products to go to US markets.
And so you felt the opportunity, but really, how would you qualify? From 2014 to now, the evolution of that tech scene. I mean, has it grown? Is it bigger? Is it still really an opportunity? I mean, how would you qualify it?
It's growing. It's super early stage because a lot of parts are missing. We have a raw talent. But in general, we, in terms of ecosystem parts, there is lacking a lot of pieces. For example, angel investors. We don't have professional angel investors, and that's my pain because I'm pre-team, pre-idea incubation stage. And for me, I really need to have the guys who know how to deal with the startups, who know how to do it professionally in terms of portfolio, who have connections. And basically, in general, the ecosystem is growing like in front of our eyes because we now have 34s and in the world ecosystem of Ukraine. But in general, considering how many incubators have been opened, like in Ukraine, we have three incubators open, like us, Demium, EO incubators. There is one more UK incubator. I've have talks with different guys who also come in and saying, hey, we want to do some also incubation program, acceleration. And people feel that there is opportunity and they start coming. And also we have a lot of good guys who already start having the experience, getting exits, you know, reinvesting, launching. And I see we get a lot of success in terms of like Kickstarter projects, and also a lot we get our first two unicorns, and more are coming. So basically we are at very, very beginning of the something which will be very big.
Just before I give the floor to Tatiana, and only one more question. We're going to be a little bit technical here, guys. So recently we talked with actually Andrei Komarowski, who is our co-host, about acceleration. And Demium is very different. You're not an accelerator, you're an incubator. It's a completely different model. Can you explain the difference between the two and how you position yourself and why?
Yes, we are, I would say, super different, and that's what excites me because we are pre-team, pre-idea. So it means like typical incubator, it's where something, you might have idea, you might have a team, but you don't have MVP, nothing. And basically you come and they help you kind of to package and get to first traction. Then acceleration, it's right from the word accelerate. So you come there with a team idea, but maybe you cannot find the product market fit, or so you have some trouble, so you cannot find the right market. Many can be many problems, and they look at you from the helicopter view and saying, hey, you have the hole here, we can help you to fix this part, and basically they help you to speed up the growth, right? And for us, we work in even earlier than typical incubator because we don't look for the teams, we don't look for the ideas, we look for the talent. So basically we look for the people with the great skills in marketing, business and tech. We get them together, we make the team out of them, and then we start looking for ideas. And then from that point of time, from idea stage to our program is for 6 months long. So we take them from no team, no idea to part where they have MVPs, they have their first traction. We help them to raise investment, and we are kind of lifetime partners. So it doesn't mean that 6 months ends and we say goodbye. No, we actually stay. I work with them until I help them to reach 2 million valuation. And then I take them to portfolio, which continues to help them to grow.
Basically, it's kind of the difference between a hunter and a farmer. You guys are hunter. You go after people and you try to find the best. And the accelerator is more a farmer, where they already have some seeds and they're trying to grow them. But it's just me.
And I would like to ask about Ukrainian startups. How do you think, how close are Ukrainian startups to the global agenda? Are we in Ukraine acting locally and thinking globally already or not? What do you think?
I would say we are trying. We're trying to do our best. We have successful cases. Like, for example, a friend of mine, Artem Yaremchuk, he's I know him for 10 years now. His company is called Attendifine. It's the best app for conference if you or events to create. And we have another successful case like Support Your App, the founder Daria Leshenko. So that's a successful cases which work with the best companies in the world, and they featured the in the Western world. But these are unique cases. We have maybe 10, 20 good cases that we can show, but in general, the majority still struggles because they live in terms of Ukrainian reality, and they have to travel more, they have to go to study, they have to make more connections to see, because even if we take about the marketing, which song we will put, which ad, which visual effects we will put on the picture, for Americans, it's one set of life, one thing, they think one way, and Ukrainians think differently. And when we start doing Ukrainian marketing to US, it's a completely different story. People there don't get it. So people have to adjust, but the trend is right, because everyone starts understanding, oh, we don't just do for Ukraine or for my CIS countries. Let's start looking there. And the best case is probably Genesis, because they have successful cases, for example, with Africa. They're super big in Africa with what they do. Also, they have a lot of products for US, like Better Me, for example, Amo Media. They do perfect things from here, Ukrainian guys, but they have a brilliant team. It's all about the generation. So with the younger generation, they are more connected to the world. They're more in the trends. They feel it. They have it in the tip of their fingers, you know.
Yeah, I think Genesis is a really cool Ukrainian company, and everybody should check it out. Andrei?
I used to run the Founder Institute program, which is the largest program for tech founders in the world, with, I guess, more than 180 locations as of now. And the Founder Institute has always been focused on founders, not teams, not startups, not products. So I can kind of relate to what you were doing at Demium. And I understand that you also work with potential founders of startups, and our podcast is listened to by many of them, at least I hope so. So my question is, how do you tell a good founder, a good potential founder from a bad one? Is there a certain list of criteria that you guys use, or is it more a personal and a case-by-case approach?
We have a, I would call it, systematic approach how we check, but it's all about the psychology of the person, because a lot of people, even who can come to us, to Demium, right, they have this job mentality where there is my employer, I have the money, and they are afraid of this uncertainty of being an entrepreneur, or they don't have a product type of mentality. So that's, you can see it from right at the beginning. So we work a lot at the beginning. We tell them, okay, if you come to us, you have to be ready, and you have to be 100% committed. You have to know why you want to do this, not because to prove to your mom, dad, friend, or something. It has to be for you. You have to be passionate about this. Second, you have to have money to do this, because being an entrepreneur is cheap. You have to have at least money for 8 to 12 months to cover your expenses, because you cannot do a startup trying to conquer the world, to raise the unicorn, if you don't have money to pay your bills. So it's a lot of preparation. So, and also about the technical or your professional background, I would better say, because at the end, investors invest in teams and people. And if you don't have a good background professional, if you don't know what you do, it doesn't matter the idea, because idea can shift in a moment, right? But you have to be capable. There has to be a right team of the right people that can deliver the idea. So we'll really look for the people with a deep knowledge of the industry, and also with a good right motivation. We have head of talent who is actually very responsible to take them on into the psychological thing. And we have a lot of exercises like Draw Your Life and Sell or Die. When, for example, the team, usually we ask teams to go, we give them 10 euros, I give away the secret, and tell them in 3 hours to make as much money as possible without breaking any law. That's the only thing. And you have to deliver within these 3 hours whatever you promised. And usually people make like 100 euros something. And this time for the team made about 9,000 hryvnia, which is about 300 euros at the current rate. So it was amazing. For the first time, it's world record, you know. And then a lot of like team exercising. So we have to shuffle them a lot for them to show themselves in the work, because there can be great personalities, but for example, they don't know how to communicate, they don't have emotional intelligence. So we look at very different aspects of the personality to have it join the team and be able, because it's very stressful, for example, when you start, when you take one idea, start validating the problem, and then you realize you work, for example, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then you realize this is redundant. It's not going to work. You have to do it again and again. And after, if it's a team of three or four, team starts breaking, because people who are not, don't have a stronger will and desire to do this, they will say, okay, it doesn't work. Maybe it's not for me, and they go away. And it's very hard to see this, because it means A, or we doesn't do our work right, so to find the right person, or the person was, you know, kind of something happened with him. It's life, we get it, but for us it's very important to have the best motivated people and capable.
Okay. What about age? Because, you know, that's kind of this myth in Silicon Valley that, oh, you have to do it in a, at a young age, and like Zuckerberg was super young, Steve Jobs was super young. But from what you're saying, experience seems to be very important as well. Do you see really young funders, or how age are the people, how old are the people who come to you?
Yeah, very different. I mean, the Zuckerberg and other guys, I would call it the survivor bias, right? Because they, it's unique cases. But in our case, from the experience, I can tell the best is about 40, 35 to 40. That's the people who get a lot of professional experience, life experience, and they have also connections. It's also important for your startup, because at the beginning you have to be agile, you have to be quick, and you have to do a lot of grassrooting for the growth. And it's also, it's done by connections, basically, when you can, oh, I know this guy, and we help with this too, but you have to be very flexible and very quick in what you do.
So it's a tradition in the show. We always ask our guests to choose a song to illustrate himself, what he does, his passion. You choose a song. Which one?
Okay, this, there is many songs I like. It's hard question to get one song. Mm-hmm. I have a couple in my head, for example, like Solomon Friends, but I will choose Foo Fighters, Learn to Fly, if you know
nice.
The song. And there's a special reason for this. There was one guy who lived in Italy, Cesano, so he was willing super badly for Foo Fighters to come to this city, or it's a town, because it's under 100,000 citizens. It's next to San Marino. And what he did, he collected 1,000 professional players to perform on the field simultaneously. And it was, and the founder, the team of Foo Fighters, they heard the song, and it was amazing. Now it has 52 million views on the YouTube, and actually they performed it in Cesano. For me, it's about something impossible, which is when it becomes possible, when you have the right plan. It would be never possible for the team to come to Cesano, to the small city in the Italy, to play. But with the right plan, with the right preparation, it took him 1 year to do this. And now there's an entire movement called Rocking 1000. So people doing the same with their favorite brands all over the world. So it's very inspiring. And for the startups, you know, you have to learn to fly and like the lyrics, which are very relevant, because it's, you have to, you know, have something that motivates you and make your dream possible.
Let's listen to it. Foo Fighter.
Great story.
And we are back in Mayaki Novatsi with Andrei Zinchuk, the managing director of Demium. And Andrei Kamarowski, you have a few questions, because, I mean, you're deep into this. Why don't you take the floor for now?
Actually, I have a lot of tons of questions. And the first one is...
That's very good.
I knew it.
Andrei, I want to go back to being tech. What do you think the local ecosystem needs in, I'm talking about the Ukrainian one, of course, in order to really step up the game fast, or is it a, do you think, a more step-by-step, very gradual and quite slow process of climbing up the ladder that's bringing us closer to Silicon Valley, to New York City, to even London? So what do we need from your point of view, of course?
I would I think it's twofolded. The simple answer is education and money, because we'll start easy was to start with money, because like in the Silicon Valley we have what about 42 billion invested annually, and in the entire history of Ukraine we have 1.2 billion, including this year when we have our unicorns with 100 million, so it's 1.2 in 10 years or so, comparing to 42 a year. So we're definitely lacking money, and very smart money, I would call it, because there is a local money which are not the greatest for the startup. It may be good for mama, papa shop or brick and mortar business, but if you want to go big, and you have to have a clean track record, because people will not do KYC. And for example, when investor will be checking who's also on your cap table, and they will see some weird names or no untraceable money, it's very bad. It's harming. Actually, taking those money would be it's a poison pill, right? So we have to have a clean money and actually a long money too. And also, again, I would just repeat, but we have to have professional investors, professional angels, because people don't know here what is safe, what is convertible debt, and so all the things are the basic, like brushing your tooth for investors in New York or in the Valley. And here people like, oh, what? We're going to invest without no valuation, just a debt. Oh, I'm going to lose it in the money, you know. Or another problem, I want 40% for $20,000. Like, are you kidding me? You're ripping off your team that you're trying to make the success. And there are many stories of this. So it's on, let's say, an investment side. And there's many examples also we can talk about more. But second part is education. An education for the founders, how to do it right, how to do the team right, because there is many cases when people trying to accomplish something with the wrong team. Oh, that's my wife, she's going to be my co-founder. Even there is a big trend in the US, but it's different because people there are professionals for like 20 years and they can handle kind of relationship and business. It's hard, but it's a different story. And here people, for example, they're trying to do something mobile app and CTO has only web experience. People don't fit for what they're trying, the job they accomplish. So there's to be right team of people. Also, they have to go through like incubation programs or acceleration programs, because it's also a stamp of quality. When you graduate from incubator, investors who relate and work with incubators, they definitely know that you have passed certain levels, you did your homework, you did your validation. Another big case here, people invest $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 in the products. They lock themselves in the room and then talk to their first clients after a couple of years of development, when they spend all the money or when investors are pressing them, hey, where's the returns? What's the results? You know, so that's what we also do. We work on agile. We have agile first and lean. So we are trying to validate everything all the time, and we trying to make as many mistakes on the early stage when it doesn't cost them any single penny besides their time. But this is the right approach to do it. And people have to follow the best models and practices which are well-developed at this
okay,
time.
Okay, and building on your comment about the lack of money in the ecosystem, I'm sure that you know that now the country has the Ukrainian National Startup Fund that gives out money in the form of grants, and they give out as much as $75,000 per startup, per team, and that's, frankly speaking, quite a lot. That's really a lot. So do you think that it's really going to change the situation and we're going to see a bunch of startups, really high-quality ones, building their products in Ukraine and entering international markets and really, really stepping up the game thanks to the availability of free money that they got from this fund?
That's definitely a step up. I'm also advisor, actually mentor. I'm reviewing the startups at the fund, so we give up to 50,000, I believe. And that's very good. It definitely had, we had a big spike in the wave through the ecosystem. People start applying and have hundreds of startups to apply. So that's something that will help us to compete, for example, against Poland when they have a lot of money from European Union, a lot of VC. And for those local VCs, those money are free because they invest their own 100,000 and 900 given by the EU. And they're mandatory for them, if you deal with those kind of VC, for startups to move to Poland. So we're actually losing the talent, and that's what we're fighting for. But so this startup fund, it's a great thing, and I recommend everyone to apply because you can give them, it's not the free money because you have to deliver on those money, right? And also it's your reputation. If you take this money and just spend it, waste it, no one give you, the ecosystem here is small. So if you do bad things or you behave badly, everyone will know it within a couple days. It takes 2 phone calls, and I just yesterday talked to one of the VCs, and he said like, oh, this was this case with this guy, you know him. I said like, yeah, he came to me and I had the same bad experience. And now this guy is screwed. You know, he doesn't get even a penny. No, the phone call will take from him. So you have to think very wisely how you act, because it's the pros and cons of having small ecosystem. The good thing is because it's small, the news spread super fast, faster than coronavirus, you know?
Reputation is a new gold.
Yeah.
I would add. And again, I would like to ask about Ukrainian startups. And just imagine having a small hint of success, Ukrainian startups tend to leave, to immigrate with the whole team, with families, etc., to the United States, to Europe. And what do you think, what could make them stay in Ukraine?
First of all, it's a, I would call it legislative problem, because they follow the money and the markets where is they making the money. And that's one of the problems I was trying to change now with the Ministry of Digital Transformation, because me, for example, I incorporate startups, but I don't do it in Ukraine. I have to do it everywhere but Ukraine, because investors' money will say no one going to put 1 million to Ukrainian LLC, because those money are not protected. And that's the problem with the legislation. And there's the project that we're working with the ministry trying to solve this part. And that will be one of the drivers that will help them to stay here. But if they work with on the U.S. market, that's a requirement of investors of who invest. And basically, they want their team very close. Dominic can follow on this. But usually, people want to be able to meet within an hour, have a coffee, or they really try to keep the teams close to them. And unfortunately, this is the trend, but there is a way how we can fight it back.
So, Andre, going back to our discussion about how you guys choose stuff, Startups choose founders at Demium. I want to elaborate on that further. How would you say, is there a way to convert business-minded, business-oriented people who have a lot of industry expertise but who are not founders into founders? Or is it better, does it make more sense to just take a raw meat, let's put it this way, a person with just the right characteristics that fit into your picture of a good founder and work with this person? Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's interesting question in terms of I've tried it both. So far, I'm more successful with the people who are actually professionals and getting them into bugs of being entrepreneur, because they can advance way faster. And for example, with my one of the latest batches, there is the case, for example, people start at the same point of time, and I have several teams. And one of the teams, they already did validation of the problem within 2 weeks. They had over 1,000 responses to their questionnaire. And some people, and let's say moving rocking fast, I'm really amazed with how they move in, with the professionality, with the tools they use. I just give them the direction and they execute it perfectly. And there's some teams with the, and it's a very, this team is about average age is 35, 36. And the teams that are younger, they're still suffering, for example, with the ideas. They're very passionate, they really want to do it, but they're still trying to select the ideas. Even with all of the tools, with the help we give them, they still kind of struggle because they don't have this market feeling.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, it's time for a wrap. Andrei, we will have you back in the podcast because I think there's a lot of things we didn't cover. I wanted to talk about the Professional Government Association, PGA, of Ukraine, that you are the chairman of the board. But I guess this is going to be for another podcast. So now it's time for a wrap. And during our wrap, it's a tradition now to ask our guest, who is your hero? Andrei Zinchuk, who is your hero?
Heroes. I precisely don't have heroes. There is a lot of people that I admire, and most of them are self-made businessmen, businesswomen, and the people I've mentioned, like Support Your App or Attendify or Genesis. I really admire people who, or Preply. Then there are many other people, and especially I admire Ukrainians because we did this not because of the support, but against everything, because all the odds and everything was against us, and people succeeded worldwide. So that's the people I really admire.
Ukrainian entrepreneurs.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, let's dedicate this podcast to Ukrainian entrepreneurs, right? Why not? And that will be my wrap. Tatiana, what is your wrap?
I would like to invite Andrei, first of all, to visit us again. And let's schedule the second part of this podcast. And let's talk more about these government initiatives we have. And of course, I'm really impressed of what you're doing. And I understand that startup success, it's not a goal, it's a way. And we are on our way. Thank you for having us. And thank you for sharing your great news.
Yeah, thanks for inviting. We'll be...
And Birthday Boy, what is your wrap?
Andrei, thanks for coming. It's been really a pleasure. And we are definitely looking forward to having you here with us one more time, maybe two or three more times. And the work that you're doing, the amount of effort that you're putting into advancing the localist ecosystem is really important. Just like you said, people need education, people need support, people need... need faith in that the future is going to be brighter, and who if not us. So thanks for doing this cool work, and looking forward to seeing you here with us again.
Thanks.
Andrei Zinchuk, thank you.
And I can help.
Yes, another wrap.
Yeah, can rap. Help. And I have this question in my mind. What was the idea behind this 10 euros, which turned into 300 euros? So what did they do?
Actually, it was very good idea. Guy cheated a little bit, but what he did, he was kind of like a Wolf of Wall Street. He put his cell phone on and was calling every number of the people who knew they have money and asking what I can do for you now, like, and how much you're going to give me. And that's how he get the money. So, but he was like super crazy. He was just phone ringing all the time when people were trying to kind of brainstorm what ideas. So he just had this simple plan and aced it.
Brilliant. I think this strategy would work now.
Yes, we will use that. And that is the end of this podcast. Don't forget to like, to share, to comment. Please stay safe, curious, and passionate. Дякую, and see you very soon, cupcakes. Thank you.